I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, third hour, coming to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Nice day here in New York City, but we are coast to coast, nationwide, 3 hours every single day, 3 to 6 Eastern, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, and CBS Sports Network. Get us on Twitter. Good job as always. A lot of interaction today at Tiki and Tierney. 1-855-212-4227. Number to hit us up. Obviously, Sirius XM 206. Is that fixed? I know we had some issues. We got a lot of tweets on.
Yeah, it wasn't working correctly.
It was down.
Yeah, it was down.
Hopefully, that's been rectified. I know we're aware of it. I should just put that out
exactly.
There.
Otherwise, if you miss anything, go to tikiandtierney.com. All of our podcasts are available there. That is of our hours and of some of our great interviews that we've done.
There you go. I like it. Speaking of interviews, I know we have Sam Darnold coming up on the show Monday. Next week is a very heavy drive. I mean, the draft is on Thursday. Mm-hmm. It's going to be absolutely awesome. We might get a trade, you know, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. We'll certainly get some activity draft night.
Yep.
If we don't get it before that, next week is going to be one of the more interesting, maybe wildly unpredictable weeks that you and I have had together at this network.
Yeah.
It's going to be off the chain. It's going
to
be crazy.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
And the Cavaliers could get bumped.
You're right. And then and the good thing is we get to react to it as well. It's not like these things happen on a Friday and we got to wait 3 days. The draft is on a Thursday.
That's right.
So we're going to have a lot of time to chat about it.
Obviously bleeds in for a couple of days, but the main, you know, reaction comes with the first round picks. Although I think you and I are both smart enough to know usually the meat, you know, you really make your medal as a draft or as a scouting person, your draft acumen, middle rounds.
Great.
You know, and so we react to the first round with such fervor.
Of course.
But really, it's...
You're right.
You know.
Especially this...
You were a second-round pick, as an example.
Of course. I mean, a lot of great guys. Strahan was as well. And Monty Toomer, I think he was in the second round.
I saw Monty playing softball the other day.
Yeah.
Wearing his Michigan jersey.
Nice.
Well, you know he lives by me.
Yeah, of course.
So he was coaching these... God, they had to be about... 9 or 10. I know he's got a couple of kids.
Yeah.
I think his daughter may have been on the team.
Twins,
I didn't see.
Yeah, he's got twin daughters.
But I didn't see his daughters.
Oh, interesting.
But he was throwing a batting practice softball. Nice. And he had them running the bases, doing drills, too. He was working them.
that's a Monty for you.
Man, I like him.
Monty's awesome.
So we'll do that. Obviously, next week is huge. Pretty good shit. Not booked yet, but we're working and very close to getting Josh Rosen, Bradley Chubb. And who was the other one? Derwin James from Florida State. So those are things that, in all probability, hopefully will come down the pike. But Sam Darnold absolutely locked in. That's a done deal. That's happening on Monday. All right, it probably will never be a done deal, but it's an interesting conversation to jump into here. Anthony Rizzo, and I find it really interesting that it's coming from somebody like Rizzo because he's of the age where... You know, it's not like it's an old, like a, you know, 38-year-old guy who's just hanging on. I mean, he's not a young pup rookie. He's far from old. He's right in the wheelhouse of his prime. He's got a great view of the sport, plays in a major market, struggled as a team when he first came up, won a championship. I mean, I think his point of view is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says that the Major League Baseball, you know, decision makers, which would also include the Players Union for something like this, need to find a way to condense the season and limit it or, you know, shave some games off.
Yeah.
You caught my ear. Just as a general premise, I'm interested.
Yeah. I think the biggest reason, when I look at baseball, the thing, and we talk about this often with football, but it's not even close to comparison. We talk about the Thursday night games and the Monday night games and Saturday all day Sundays football, and it's like, man, it's just oversaturated. There's no scarcity. It's like I don't need to. I can see everything whenever I want to. Baseball is that on steroids, and you know, no pun intended. But it's all the time. And I feel like from a player standpoint, and a fan standpoint, if there was, you know, a couple days between games, and you know, physically you could recover as a player, and as a fan, you're not inundated with these opportunities to go see your team. And so you actually will go, and you won't get half-empty stadiums at the beginning of the season as teams are still trying to figure out whether or not, you know, am I really into my team right now? Not the Uber fan, but
I got you.
Like the fringe fan.
Sure. Kids are still in school.
Great. I have a choice to do something today. Do I want to go to a game? Yeah, I'll just go tomorrow. right?
And kids are still in school. Part of it.
Exactly. The scarcity's not there.
Yep.
And solely from a physical toll standpoint, it's got to be exhausting. Like, I don't know this because I never played baseball and other than with CeCe, but he pitches every other, 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
If he's on regular rotation, it's not like he's exhausted. So I don't know any of these guys, but I got to imagine you got to get worn out.
That's a grind.
In a month, you're ground down. I mean, seriously.
It's a grind.
So how do you stay fresh? Like, how do you stay, on point and mentally, strong? I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. it's why they get paid so much, obviously,
that's
but
part
still,
of it.
It's a challenge, dude.
I think it's genetics. I think it's what position you play.
Yeah.
I think it's how your manager uses off days and is able to recycle you, maybe use a DH. And that's why, those who are against the DH in the National League, mm-hmm. I understand why they're against it.
Okay.
Because it's a purist thing, and mm-hmm. more and more pitchers can hit. Obviously, we see Bumgarner smash it when he can hit a little bit here. But I also think it's a resting tool that the American League has as a supreme advantage that the National League does not.
Agreed.
I mean, if you're a guy, take McCutchen, who's mm-hmm. with the Giants now. He's not a kid. You want him out there. You hope that he's going to hit you 285 to 290 and steal some bags and score 90 runs, whatever it might be. He's obviously a little bit past his prime, but still very viable. Had a couple of game-winning hits, even though he started off really cold in terms of batting average and stuff. But if you could throw him at the DH spot and not just an interleague, there's a ways to just preserve bodies. But I look at it, so I do think it's a competitive disadvantage for the National League.
Nope, no doubt.
But I look at it more from, and selfishly, as a fan. Because players just show up and play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that that's incredibly selfish, but I think baseball, like the repetition and the frequency of the sport, you can position that as you just did, partly maybe as its downfall.
Mm.
But then the next person can say that it's that repetition and that frequency that makes it so charming. It's always there.
True.
You know what I mean? Like a high school girlfriend that's always, she's always there.
Yeah.
She's always there.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. So say tonight, you go home, you're just like, man, a long day. I just want to sit and chill. I don't feel like watching some stupid sitcom. I just want to watch some sports. Oh, my team is playing.
Yeah.
And maybe getting blown out. Doesn't matter. Maybe playing a great game, could be boring game, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of there.
It's there.
Yeah,
it's a soundtrack to... I would say it was certainly a soundtrack to my youth. I know that that's not quite the same anymore, but it's definitely a soundtrack for, in the pockets where baseball is incredibly vibrant,
mm-hmm.
Northeast, New York, Philly, Boston, and we know that Chicago, Bay Area is tremendous. We know the pockets. St. Louis is awesome. Listen, it's funny, though, because the Yankees had, and we'll get back to Rizzo in a second, the Yankees had a couple of rainouts, and I do notice that I had a little itch. I'm like, oh, come on. When I knew that they were actually playing, there was more of an anticipation on my end because I didn't have them for the previous day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When they were snowed out in Detroit, the doubleheader.
Yep. And there's been a ton of them.
There's
by
been
the
a
way.
Lot.
25 postponements.
Is that what the number is?
Which is one away from an April record.
No, and we still have a lot of games. Wow, that's interesting.
Agree.
I know we had one snowed out or postponed today as well.
And
so
it's
that's
snowing
part of
in Green Bay. I don't know if the Brewers.
They got the roof.
Oh, that's
they
true.
Got the
that's
roof.
True.
They back in the day they didn't
yeah,
when they
true.
Played at Milwaukee County Stadium with
the roof didn't
Cecil
prevent.
Cooper and those guys.
Who had the issue
Robin
with
Young.
The roof? Toronto, right?
Toronto
had the indoor game postponed because of weather.
I know. I mean, it's crazy.
that's
ridiculous. I could see this both ways. I am officially okay, and I never thought I'd say this because it's different when you come.
You're okay
home,
with
I'm okay with a condensed season.
Now condensed in by how many?
Well, listen, you're not going to go below 154. That's got to be the threshold. Now, keep in mind, since
so that's only what, 8 games?
It's only an 8-game differential now. Since tonight, but it plays out so much differently than just the 8, and I'll tell you why in a second. But the since 1962. Both leagues have played 162.
Okay.
All right, so this is a long-standing mm-hmm. thing. This predates you and I even mm-hmm. being born. I mean, it's been around for a long time. Before that, it was obviously 154. They'll never do this. They'll never do this. But if they ever really wanted to make baseball, I don't say great again, because I think it's pretty damn great now. But how about playing, again, this is a pipe dream, play a doubleheader on Sundays,
mm-hmm.
getaway day, right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
And then you condense it to 154. So in essence, you get an extra day during, so you already have the 8 days that you go from 162 to 154.
Yeah.
And then by adding the extra game on Sunday, four times a month.
You give an extra day.
Sometimes. You have an extra day four times a month.
So
you have like at least.
But how taxing is a doubleheader, you think?
Well, it's taxing. I mean, it's taxing on the. Yeah, it is. It is.
But here's the thing. Kids do it all the time.
Teague, I played. I played. Well, I know you see this with your son.
But I know you did this as well. And you did it at an older age.
But
I mean, so it's not like, you know, a game can be over in four innings because the team's getting blown out.
All day.
You know what I mean?
All day.
You're playing nine innings twice.
Usually the seven inning, the doubleheaders would be seven. Yeah. Seven. Even in college, it was.
Really?
Yeah. Every conference is different. I don't know what the SEC does or the bigger conferences.
That's interesting.
We would do a doubleheader on a conference, doubleheader Saturday, seven innings and seven innings. Mm-hmm. And then to finish up the three-game set, Sunday was a nine-inning game. Listen, I just think that there's value in kind of like dangling the carrot and creating desire and want. You know, sometimes you take something for granted if it's always staring at you.
Good point.
When you miss something a little bit here.
Agreed.
You create demand.
The
you
scarcity.
Create urgency.
Yes, the scarcity.
Scarcity.
It's business 101, but... Mm-hmm. When they ultimately went to 162, why did they switch to it?
I don't know. I don't know why. Yeah, I just know when they did. I wonder if there's an answer to that.
Sam, to see if you can find it.
I'm guessing maybe it had to do something with expansion. Maybe.
Probably.
I mean, and you had to find some way
to balance the schedule and things.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But still, it seems like it's just a lot of games.
It is a lot of games.
It's daunting to even think about.
Think about if you're Carlos Correa right now or Jose Altuve. I know Verlander went to the Houston Astros after the trade deadline, so he's not a good example. And we use position players. I was going to say Keuchel, Springer. Any Astro that plays every day, right? You show up last year, spring training, we'll say February 20th, March 20th. April 20th, May, June, July, August, September 20th. You get to October 1st, 162 game season ends. Yeah. You play all of October.
Yeah.
You regenerate November, December, January, and then you're done.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much to consume as a fan.
Agreed.
And I think it's too much for these guys to play.
And for the guy and those guys that you're talking about, it's a quick offseason, man. It's really quick.
And they're young. Correa's a kid. Altuve's been around a little bit longer. Springer's same. You know, he played in college at UConn, so he's not 22 years old at this point. But you know that's taxing. It's a day. Now, I guess if you do it every day for a living, it gets a little repetitive. Mm-hmm. Like part of the charm of playing baseball, I love this. Maybe because I had more success during batting practice than I did during games. But like I loved going to the field and going to the clubhouse and putting on my uniform and sitting there with a dip and listening to music and going to, you know, an hour and a half, first maybe in the cage by myself, go do batting practice, take infield, outfield, get some running in the outfield, doing poles, I mean, doing all these things, playing the doubleheader, icing down postgame. Take, that's 9 hours.
Yeah.
These guys in the major leagues, they got to do interviews. Mm-hmm. I mean, real interviews. And it's a lot. It's a lot. The problem, while I believe this should happen, it never will because they're – it's money.
Yeah, it's too much money.
It's money.
Yeah, you're there's sports are the bastion of television, the last bastion of television. People will sit and watch a game, and that means advertisers are going to spend money while you sit and watch that game. And if you start doing away with those, you start doing away with a lot of the cash that's gone into a lot of people's pockets.
That's true. I mean, I look at it this way. If you're willing to put some games exclusively on Facebook to appeal to a younger generation – which they're obviously doing. It's been met with some skepticism, but if you want to watch the game, go on Facebook and watch it. Otherwise, you can't watch it. But if you want to take those creative means to introduce or to lure in a new audience, maybe another unconventional move would be to reduce the season.
Yeah,
I mean, don't stop it. Just putting it on social media as the only outlet. I mean, it's something to at least continuously converse about.
Agreed.
If I'm the commissioner, you know, I'm kicking the tires. I'm going to always take the temperature of the teams and the owners and the players' union. I don't know if it ever happens, but as a longtime baseball guy, it's time.
Yeah.
It's a long season. Too long.
Thank you, right.
You know? Okay. I don't know if people would agree with this. Let's get some calls. I mean, you know, baseball's the kind of thing where, again, the charm is that it's always there, and the detriment is that it's always there. If they reduced it by 8 games, would this be good? Would this suck you in more? Would this make you crave baseball more? 1-855-212-4227. Expect you to step up, weigh in, make some calls. We'll get them coming up next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Can I divulge what you just said?
Yeah, man. I think we might have to find a way to get in on this.
Am I hearing wee-wee?
Yeah.
Like we? Like as we, in we. You and I?
Dude, or
you,
just... You'd love this more than I would.
I played here.
I know you did.
Oh, boy.
But you would love this more than I did.
Say
so Pat Hanlon, who's over at the New York Giants, just sent me a text message a little bit ago asking about Shinnecock Hills out in Southampton.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is the Mondays. We might have to take the day off. But the U.S. Open is out there.
Oh, I know.
And
it's coming.
We might have a chance to go play around.
Really? The last time I have played, and I really use the word played very loosely, because that course, man, what they
is
do
it
was
rough?
No, oh, jeez. That's the year.
I mean, U.S. Open courses are always. But
now I played there, I want to say in late May of 04.
Okay.
Which is the last time. I may have the year off by one, but I think it was 04. That's the year Retief Goosen won the U.S. Open. And that's at Shinnecock Hills. And that's also the year that they kept watering one of the greens, the par threes, because it was actually dubbed unfair by the players. Now,
too
you'll
fast.
Hear, and when you hear the word unfair, you don't hear that from pros.
No.
You'll hear challenging, difficult, definitely. When you hear pro golfers start saying it's unfair, meaning if I hit it to a certain spot and I don't get rewarded for it, it can't hold the green. So there was a lot of problems with one of those greens. Teak, it's the hardest course I've ever seen. Because all the greens are crowned at Shinnecock. And if you don't have any spin on your approach shots, which I'm guessing you don't because I
do
don't.
Not. I just try to get it there.
Me too. You can't hold any green. Right, it's
so
hard.
So if we play and I hit the green, can I pick up?
You can do whatever you want in these kind of events because we're certainly not keeping scores. We'd run out of lead from our pencil.
No doubt.
I get to see if you can get
it. I am.
And then through Spitz.
I'm going to write out. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
No, no. If Pat says it's cool, then
it's good.
Sorry, Spitz.
All right, Spitz, we're not showing up that day. Here's the other thing about we'll get some calls on baseball's possibly, you know, condensing the season as per Anthony Rizzo, the young superstar for the Cubbies, who said this. Now, maybe he's heavily influenced by the inordinate amount of postponements that you referenced before, 25 thus far in the
25
season.
25 thus far in April, which is one away from the record in April. And we still have 12 days left in April.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to get it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been an avalanche of bad weather all over the country here. But the other thing about condensing the season, now, again, this is just in my mind's eye as a kid. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it doesn't always fit as an adult how you remember it, or vice versa. But I remember going to, like, Yankee Stadium to watch Mattingly and Winfield, and my dad is an old Brooklyn Dodger fan, would also take me to Shea. That's why I don't hate the Mets, to watch, you know, to watch his team, Doc and Darryl, but position Keith Hernandez, and they would play almost every day. Now, if they were hurt, they didn't play.
Yeah.
But you go to a major league ballpark now, there's no guarantee that your superstar is playing.
That's a good point.
And if you condense the season.
Maintenance days.
Yeah, like a maintenance day, give a day off, let them freshen up, don't want to get them too tired. If that's eliminated, it could incentivize fans to reach into their pocket more frequently to go to the ballpark knowing that their guy's going to play.
Yeah, always. You're right.
Because that's become a little bit of a problem here. Sam is in Virginia. Sam wanted to weigh in. He's on Tiki and Tierney. Sam, what's going on? How are you today?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We are good. What do you think about this? Major League Baseball season too long?
I do think it's a bit too long. I think it might even go. I know you all were talking about just shorten it to 8 games. I think that it might be a good idea to even look at starting it 1st of May and start spring training later. So you'd maybe start spring training late March or early April and give the players some more time off, get them rested, and you'll get some better weather in May, more around the country, so you'll have less of these postponements all over the place.
Yeah, and Sam, it's a good point because we were just talking about this, and Samter just whispered in my ear. He said, "Do you start the game? Do you start the season later, or do you end it sooner? Say you take out some games, whatever that number happens to be. Do you start later, or you do it sooner?"
Mm-hmm.
And I think interestingly, because of the weather, it's just there's no doubt it's changing. It's just, winter is definitely later than it has historically ever been.
Yep,
and it lasts a lot longer into the spring than it ever has.
Uh-huh.
And so,
but conversely, summer bleeds into October.
No doubt,
in the Northeast and in certain pockets.
I mean, you get close to Thanksgiving sometimes.
Yes.
And you're still in short sleeve shirts.
People still playing golf in the Northeast around Thanksgiving.
Right.
That didn't happen when we were kids.
No, never.
They were shut down.
You're right. You're in half a foot of snow sometimes, and that never happens any longer. So, I think starting later would be the better option, and it also, by the way, it makes the off season longer for these guys if it's starting later. So instead of having pitchers and catchers on Valentine's Day, you know, you can push it back to the end of February, if not the beginning of March.
Maybe. I mean, the other thing about when baseball – now, this year it started way too – it just started too early.
Yeah, it did.
That's ridiculous, right? I mean, it started too early. But when it starts, and they've been married to this forever, you're kind of overshadowed by March Madness, the Final Four,
yep.
which obviously is the culmination of March Madness, and the Masters. Mm-hmm. So if you push it to May 1st, I don't know if I'd want to wait till May.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a little radical for me. I don't want to wait till May.
Well, yeah, because the spring is here, even though it's not actually here.
Theoretically, it is. Well, I don't want to wait till May to watch baseball.
How many games are in a month? Like, I mean, it's like
in a conventional, say, 29-day month. 23, yeah. There's two off days, three off days max.
So out of all of those games, only 25 are being postponed. I mean, it's not, you know, technically that many. But it is a lot.
Well, no, but it if that's only if the 25 postponements were dispersed to all the teams across baseball.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's not the case.
It's not. It's all in
a lot
Detroit.
Of teams have been hit with multiple.
It's all in Detroit. The Yankees have been postponed at least twice, maybe more than that.
No question.
Yeah, you're right. So it's an inordinate amount of times for a team, and then making those games up, that gets hard.
Yeah, you know, the more I think about this, by the end of the show, it's going to be a 90-game season. I would even go to 150. I mean, you know, if you want to, why 154? Because that's what it was.
Yeah,
doesn't mean that it was right.
No,
go take it, you know, shave off a few more, make it a 150. Sabrina's in Ohio on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. Sabrina, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Okay. What's happening?
Well, I was mentioning about the baseball season and. Mm-hmm. I think it should start later because watching baseball with people in blankets and hoodies, it's like watching football. And baseball is my favorite sport. So it's not like I don't like baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
I love baseball. It's my favorite. But I just think that April and watching baseball in snow and bundled up and in hoodies like you're at a football game, that's un-American.
Yeah, it doesn't look right. You know what else, Sabrina?
It does not look
right. You know what else, Sabrina? Nobody goes. You know what I mean?
The stadiums are empty. And then I thought about, well, maybe if they started a lot of the games in the South and West, where it's nicer earlier in the season, but then they're going to miss out later in the season because they're going to all be, you know, the home teams or whatever.
Exactly. It gets complicated.
I think it's better to start it later.
You an Indians fan, Sabrina?
I sure am.
You got
forever.
You got Brantley back this year. Nice.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes, we do. Well, I do too.
You guys got a good team. Lindor, you guys are stacked again. Thanks for calling. Appreciate
Lindor,
you, Sabrina.
Thank you.
Okay, you got it. You know, and that's the thing. You and I brought this up a while ago. Like, you can strategically, you know, have the Rays play a lot of home games early. You could obviously go down to Southern California with the Angels, the Padres down there in San Diego. You know, in the East Bay with the A's, San Francisco's a little chilly with the marine climate, but obviously not as bad as Chicago.
Yeah,
there's ways
to
circumvent this.
It's bearable, yeah.
But the problem is, on the back end, it would have an imbalance. It would be a competitive disadvantage.
Yeah, but you know,
teams fighting for wild card spots, they got to play 20 games on the road in a month.
That's a good point.
That's not right.
And the weather is not the issue, but I remember this issue with when the Arizona Cardinals were in the NFC East. Like every now and then,
that hellhole playing there.
Every now and then, we would get a game in Arizona early in the season, and it was just miserable.
That's too hot.
It
I don't
was
know how you guys
unbelievably
did that.
Hot
with those metal bleachers. And what stadium was that again? Arizona
Sun Devil,
State, right?
Sun Devil Stadium.
Oof.
Yeah, no, it was bad.
Ooh.
That was the only time I had to have an IV in the middle of a game. Because and you know, I told you about returning punts.
Yeah.
In that game, I didn't want to return punts. I was like, Amani.
You tapped out?
I was like, Tomb, you gotta take these, man.
You tapped out?
I couldn't do it, man.
Wait, don't you have to run it by your coach first? You just said, Amani,
no.
Take these punts?
I said, Tomb, you get, because we were in a 2-minute offense.
Oh, I got you.
Right? Because we were losing for whatever reason. We were losing that game, and Arizona wasn't good, but we were losing that game. And we're running our 2-minute offense the whole time. And Tomb was like, Teak, I'm a wide receiver. I'm not even coming back to the huddle. How the hell do you think I'm not tired?
Oh, man.
So we fought about who was going to return punts in that game.
Who returned them?
We switched
split
off.
Them up?
Yeah, we split them.
Wow, that sounds like hell. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. By the way, tweet us if you wanted to weigh in on the baseball stuff at Tiki and Tierney. Hey, everybody, quick way to save a little money. Switch to Geico. Homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance. You get it all at geico.com. We've got the blast coming up. LeBron tonight. You don't want to fall behind 0-2, not with those untested players around you, LeBron. He's got to come out and drop 15 in the first quarter. Can he do it? Will he do it? We know Tyronn Lue called him out a little bit called him to be more aggressive. So we'll see. That's a big game. We'll talk about that. The Blast as well. Axe update. Here's Rich right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, still to come, the Blast here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. First up, we answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, which is always brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. This one, let's go a little Des Bryant question here. A couple of NBA questions came in, but I think this, I want to hear how Tiki answers this. We'll go Des. This one is from Noquisi Waya or Waya at Waya. Oh my gosh, look at that. Even the name, the handle, I'm sorry, buddy. I think I got Noquisi right. Rest, I have no idea. So here's the question. What NFL team is willing to deal with Des Bryant's drama? Mm. I know he's going to get paid, but where do you think he winds up?
You know, we kind of accidentally got into this with the Patriots. The Pats are used to dealing with guys like this. So I'd say the Pats are one. Other than that, I think the Baltimore Ravens are the likely landing spot.
Okay, so Teague is on the record. Makes sense. I would probably co-sign. I know the Ravens, that there's a lot of smoke there. Mm-hmm. The Pats, more of us kind of, you know,
speculating.
Reading. Yeah, but also it's speculation based on how they've handled business in the past years. So we'll see. I mean, he's going to play somewhere. He's, you know, he's only 29. All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Okay, so tomorrow's going to be a good Thursday on the show. I know that we have Monday Sam Darnold to stop by. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that chat?
I am.
We are looking forward to that. We had him on the show at the Super Bowl. Incredibly impressive young man. He was on our set, mm-hmm. came by, rolled through, was great. And, you know, he's good. I mean, he's good. I don't know if the Browns are overthinking this. We're overthinking this.
We're not.
You don't think so?
They are.
But isn't that what you do when you're not good at something?
Yeah, it is.
You know, we were
and it's a new regime. And so I'm sure there's some hangover from the old regime that they get asked for input, but Dorsey wants to do it his way.
Yeah, of course.
Hugh Jackson is obviously not a he's known as a QB guru, so it's not like he's just going to say, just give me somebody. So he's going to have an opinion.
He's got a lot of say in this?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think he should.
But he probably has an opinion about it.
Well, that he should. He's entitled to that,
and
for sure.
And so I think there's just a lot of voices coming from a lot of different areas. I mean, look, Hugh Jackson was the one who told us that they're not settled on who they're going to take yet. So clearly he has an opinion about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're making it harder than it actually is.
Well, the draft is almost here, Teak, and nobody covers it better than NFL Network. Behind the scenes and into all 32 war rooms as the stars of tomorrow are selected. The 2018 NFL draft starting April 26 on NFL Network and Fox. You know, it's funny, you just mentioned about Shinnecock Hills, the whole good golfer, bad golfer thing. Good golfer just gets his grip and he goes. A bad golfer's like, don't think too far. Don't cast the club. Don't do this. Don't do that. It's almost like the Browns' decision making. When you're not good at something,
right,
you tend to overanalyze.
You think it. You don't trust it.
You don't trust it. Not that they've earned the right to trust their decision making.
Not at all. But they have all the inputs they need. It's not like they need to hear anything else or see anything else or have someone else's opinion injected into the conversation. They have everything they need.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're indecisive.
Probably.
That's not a good thing, though, a week away from this.
No. It's one thing to be open-minded. It's another thing to be indecisive.
I agree.
Which, and I don't know if it's bleeding into that. I'm going to give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt here. But for the four most viable candidates that could go one, you know, I'll put Baker Mayfield's not going one. There's no way that they can still think that they can take either Darnold or Rosen or Mayfield. They have to be more settled in there.
I agree.
They have to.
I agree.
All right, quickly on Ohtani before we get to the Blast here. So I had a chance to watch him last night. All right, MLB Network had the game. Watched him. Didn't get to watch him very long. He wasn't around very long.
Mm-hmm. Two innings.
And got lit up, man. Gave up a lot of home runs. And listen, anybody could go and read the box score. It's there. If you want it, it is what it is. You know, how many pitches he threw, how many home runs. He gave up a lot of home runs. But the thing that I take away from it is this. That's the first time he didn't have his secondary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you can even make the case maybe early on got squeezed on a couple of close calls, whatever. It happens to everybody. The next phase, or one of the most important elements of a young pitcher, because I've talked to, you know, Roger Clemens told me this a long time ago, that if you get 30 starts in a season, You walk out there 10 times, you have electric stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Electric, and you know it. Which means you're going 8 2/3, yep. sprinkling three hits and whiffing 12. You're yep. just going to be unhittable. Another 10 times you go out there and you have a really good arsenal where you might have to grind one or two frames, but it's kind of coast mode. The other 10 starts, you have no feel. Mm-hmm. Your fastball, you can't locate. Your cutter, it's not moving. Your curveball's not snapping. Your slider's not popping. Your changeup's not diving. Whatever it is. And it's the ability to fight through those 10 starts where you don't have much that separates a guy who's got an ERA over 4
yeah.
and the guy who keeps it in the high 2s. And last night was the first time as a pro he didn't have his secondary stuff. And he was a little rattled. And he just, nothing worked. And you could you saw, the if you're watching Eros on TV, that was a slider or a curveball. It looked incredibly flat. I mean, that's a meatball down. Even though it's a broken bat base hit, I think that was Brock Holt. Yeah, it was Holt down the left field line. He just didn't have it.
Yeah.
And
but that's okay.
That's baseball.
It's okay.
No, it's baseball.
And you shouldn't have to worry about it. And mm-hmm. even the home run that he gave up, I mean, that wasn't a pitch to hit. Mookie Betts just had a day yesterday.
I thought that was actually a really good pitch.
It was low down in the zone,
yep.
tailing away.
That was a good pitch.
Mookie Betts,
one of the better pitches he made, ironically.
Mookie Betts just went down and got it, yeah. took it over the fence.
Yeah, he did.
And then he did it two more times.
Yeah. Otani's going to be fine. But last night, just keep this in the back of your mind, secondary stuff. The young pitchers, this applies to anybody. Can you go through and with C-level mm-hmm. stuff? Last night, that's what he had. And the answer is no, but he'll adjust. He's got the good stuff. You ready for the blast?
Yeah.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, we start with the NFL. The Tennessee Titans will exercise the option on Marcus Mariota. Is he a Super Bowl caliber quarterback?
He's worth getting his 5th-year option, that's for sure. You don't know if a guy's a Super Bowl caliber quarterback until they actually get to the Super Bowl, because in his second year, until he actually won one, would we have said, yeah, Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl quality quarterback? It's kind of a stupid question, because
I think it's a good question.
You can't know.
But he's not his second year. He's 4 years in.
I know, but would you have thought Russell Wilson in his second year was a Super Bowl quality quarterback? The answer is no, you definitely not.
I hear you, but Mariota's not in the second year.
I understand that. But Mariota has also been banged up a couple of times. His offense, they were lost a couple of years ago. I mean, they fired the coach,
mm-hmm.
right? So my point is you can't know until a guy actually goes and wins a Super Bowl with the right team around him.
You played, so who am I to challenge you on that? But I think that there you can gather enough evidence, enough intel, where you can say organizationally, mm-hmm. okay, we haven't gotten there yet, but, you know, he protects the ball, he doesn't shrink when the moment's big, he can go outside in the rain in December, and then you can kind of piece together an opinion before you actually get there. I like him, I'm still not convinced, but I do like him. But you're right, you got to pick up that picture. That you have to do at the bare minimum. All right, Teak, the Suns reportedly trying to steal our buddy Budenholzer, yeah. Bud, from the Hawks here. Is it a good fit? I think it's a great fit. I think it's a great fit to the point where I would give up some draft equity to make this happen.
Interesting.
They got, I'm not saying the first round, right away, but you got to lottery protect this. But between Booker, between Warren, they've got so many young players who need to learn how to play hard and with integrity
and together. And we saw this a couple years ago.
Josh Jackson.
Yep, a couple years ago with the Atlanta Hawks. And it was a surprise season because the talent wasn't great.
Did they win 60 that year?
Yeah.
They did.
They absolutely did. And you're like, dude, Hawks?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But then you watch them play, and it was unselfishness. I mean, Korver was on that team. It was finding the open guy all the time. It was that space and make sure you make the right shot every time. If the Suns had that kind of coaching, mm-hmm. I think they can go a long way because they have such young, great talent on that team.
They're the right pick away from being awesome.
Yeah.
Because Booker's a star. They got some good players there. All right, just mentioned Mr. Otani left the game with a blister on his finger and a blister on his ego because he got knocked around a little bit. Should the Angels be concerned, or is that natural?
No, I think it's natural. I mean, your third outing in Major League Baseball, you've had so much going on. It's been a whirlwind for Shohei Otani in Major League Baseball from being the first really consistent two-way and expected two-way player. and succeeding on both ends.
So you're not worried?
I'm not worried.
I'm a little worried. I'll tell you why.
About the blister?
About the blister. Yeah, because I don't know if that's a byproduct of going, listen, when you throw from the outfield or DH, even though, you grip the ball differently.
Yeah.
And is that blister a byproduct of taking 1,000 swings in the cage?
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. I'd like to see exactly where it is. I'm going to say TBD. Mm. Keep an eye on this one here. Al Leiter had a blister his whole career, early, and it kind of prevented him from being great, and Al was still pretty good. Blisters are tricky. It seems harmless. Mm-hmm. Blisters could derail some pitchers. All right, Alabama star defensive back Minka Fitzpatrick says the Tide would have, quote, whooped up on UCF. What would the score have been if they played? Hmm. If they played Central Florida?
I'm going to put you to the test.
I got a score for you.
Go ahead.
40-10. Or 40-13.
What would be your line, Mr. Tierney?
Sharp, on a neutral site?
Sharp Tierney. I got neutral
you.
Site.
I got you. I would say about 14.5, right around there.
So Vegas did this back.
Oh, did they?
Right around the championship.
Didn't see this. It's got to be at least two scores. So let's not waste time if it's
21.
Not. 21. Oh, okay, so I was being even.
21. So the question
more
is,
fair to them.
Would Bama beat them? Yeah. The question is, would UCF cover?
And what do you think?
Yes.
I probably would have bet UCF that
I
night.
Would have absolutely.
But you just asked me to establish the line.
I know. I just wanted the line.
All right. Got you.
I'd take UCF.
All right. Plus 21. And you'd be paying big like a sucker. All right. Police are investigating Florida State quarterback DeAndre Francois.
Wow, crazy story.
Yeah. For selling weed. There was a raid of his apartment. This tag, and they found all sorts of items. You know, not just marijuana, but they found somebody else's Florida State ID and some marijuana paraphernalia. There's some stuff here that a star quarterback just shouldn't have. Let's be honest. Does Taggart need to kick him off the team?
Yeah, of course.
Definitely.
I mean, it's not even a question. He's already had some issues, and as a new coach coming in, if it's your guy from previous, then maybe you can, and you know him well enough to work through it. It's a different story. But new guy, new regime, you gotta have a clean slate. And this looks bad, and it looks like it's going to get worse, most likely.
Yeah, this isn't, star player getting pinched at a frat house with a vape or with a blunt.
No.
This seems to be a lot deeper.
Yep.
I'd ask some questions, but even if I hear the right answer, I don't know if I believe it. There's a lot of evidence here that would lead me. He's probably off the team. I'm with you. Yep. I think he's got to go.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
Yeah. Now, let's not forget he was also accused of a domestic violence incident about four or five months ago.
Yeah.
And so it's a couple of red flags that you don't need if you're a new coach in a new situation.
I'm trying to find the exact – I agree with that, Teague, no question. You're trying to, get a culture going, your own culture, and you can't have that seep in from another regime. Let's see here. Busted for weed, blamed his girlfriend. That's classy. That's nice.
Which could be the truth, but still.
True. They did find 17 grams of cannabis tobacco mixture. All right, that's not enough to, I don't think that's enough intent to sell.
No.
I don't know what the threshold is, but I think that's below it. Well, it definitely is. Items of drug paraphernalia. Tried to minimize his culpability by saying that he can't smoke right now and saying that the cannabis belonged to Lindsay. Mm-hmm. This kid's got to go.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I wouldn't give him a chance. You know where I might take him? Lane Kiffin. I mean, I'd give him a chance somewhere.
Well, he already took the guy. He already took one of his quarterbacks, DeAndre Johnson, who was dismissed from the university, right? Was he kicked off the team or just dismissed from the university? I can't remember which one it was. But he also had a domestic issue. I'm just looking at this stuff. Bob Marley grinder.
That's what it was.
An instant drug test
That's
cup.
Right.
Three
That's
vials
right.
of pain medication.
I knew there was some good stuff in
two
there.
Two broken iPads. Three iPhones.
God.
A student ID card.
A Bob Marley grinder. So that's where you put the full butt in there and you crank it like salt, like the pepper shaker. And you gotta get it right for the blunt, Teak. Can't be messing around with that, man. Come on. Gotta get it right. Right, D-Cell.
If it wasn't so sad, it'd be awesome.
D-Cell knows how to roll them.
He grinds him.
All right, enough about him. What does LeBron do tonight? What happens? Does he come out and drop 15 in the first quarter and just smack the Pacers, or is this a four-quarter game and we're sweating if you're a Cavs fan?
I'm saying it's not a four-quarter game. I'm saying that the Pacers are feeling good about themselves, and LeBron comes out firing.
Who wins?
Cavs.
Okay, you just said the Pacers feel good about themselves.
I know. They feel good about themselves.
As they should. And but LeBron comes out firing.
Exactly.
And the Cavs win.
Yeah. Feel good about yourself, meaning too confident in yourself.
Oh, okay. I got you.
I'm going Cavs.
Or they could just feel good because they think they have a good matchup. And they just smacked them around on national TV and held them to 80 points at the Q.
Possibly.
I got you. All right, well, listen, either way, we'll cut it tomorrow. I think LeBron's plays well. I think the Cavaliers probably win tonight. I know this is the easy way out. I wouldn't be stunned if they don't win, though. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Peace. Gotta go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.